Good morning, 740 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Great to have you with us. Mike Wood is the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. He joins us now. Hey, Mike, what's going on, sir? Welcome back to the show.
Good morning. Fortunately, not much is going on.
I'll take it. That's always good. Whenever I talk to the cops and they're like, nothing's happening, like, sweet, I'll take it. It's kind of an odd question, but it had come up in a news article I was reading, and only because you guys are involved in this switching over of the firearms, going from the Glock 45 to the Glock 22, I think is the way it's going. I may have that backwards, but from the 40 millimeter to the 9 millimeter plus the red dot sight. Do I have that right? From the 45 to the 22?
No, you have it backwards.
Backwards, from the 22 to the 45. Okay, I knew I did as soon as I said it.
Right.
In any case, the story was that Glock, because of the California prohibition on selling ones that are compatible with the Glock switches, which, by the way, have we seen that in the city? Have we seen people having Glock switches? No, okay. I know it's been occasional in the county, but very occasional. Anyway, they prohibit sales, and then there was a story running around that Glock was actually going to discontinue a bunch of their traditional platforms because they are of the type that California bans. But there was some discrepancy over whether Glock had actually said this or whether it was just a rumor or what. And I couldn't verify it one way or the other. So my question to you is this changeover that you guys are in the process of doing, is it already accomplished, and is it affected at all by this whatever's going on?
It's still in progress. I believe we'll have it completed in mid-November, but I'm not aware of any issues related to what you're talking about affecting us.
Okay. All right, good. Yeah, and when I tried to look, it seemed like maybe even if it was going to affect, you know, commercial production for, you know, civilians, that it's still, they would have their whole law enforcement category and, of course, you know, whatever else they do. So I didn't think it would affect, but I wanted to check because I, you know, I hate to see the idea of my cops being interfered with because of some weird development in the production of handguns. Anything happen over the last week or so that we ought to know about? Maybe something at Wahoo Stadium? Is that what you were telling me before we got on?
Yeah, that happened Tuesday night. We've had this happen again, and for some reason, young folks around Pensacola think that because that's an outside venue that it's just okay to hop the fence and go play on third base or up in the stands and things like that, and it's not. It's a criminal offense. That is an enclosed area. Obviously, there's walls. There are gates. And you can't go in there. So it happened again Tuesday night. Four people, I believe three teenagers and an adult, were in there, were caught inside there, and they were charged appropriately with trespassing. They didn't hurt anything or steal anything. But we just want to say again that it's a close. It's private property, and you can't be in there. And I don't think that anybody that's gone in there after hours has not been caught. Without going into the detail on how we know that you're in there, we just do. And it's not a good idea to jump that wall and go in there to play.
Okay, yeah, I don't want to give away your methods and tactics, sources and methods or whatever, but, you know, I think we can all infer probably you have ways of knowing that would indicate the presence of people, and you've found all the ones who have been there, so I appreciate knowing that. We had this wild story involving Larry Downs Jr., of course, local political, I don't know, agitator, activist, I don't know what you want to call him exactly. He's a friend. But his kids, who are part of his plumbing business, were doing a plumbing job. And what happened? This is a wild story.
Well, they, in the words of Channel 3, they helped us crack the case. They were on site working on a plumbing
issue. You did not. You did not just say that.
No, I did not. I did not. This is creative writing by the staff at Channel 3. And when I saw that, I knew the comments were going to start rolling in, and they absolutely did.
Oh, that's fantastic. Go on.
Yeah, and if you know Mr. Downs, I'm sure that he didn't have an issue with that at all.
No.
He has a sense of humor
as well.
Yeah,
he does.
But, yeah, they were working up in Northwoods when a female came outside. She was made aware that there was a person trying to get into her pickup truck. She saw him, and he started walking away to where the plumbers were working. She asked him for assistance and told them that he just tried to get into her pickup truck. They followed him. He ended up picking up a piece of PVC that belonged to them and threatened them with it. So eventually he put that down and ran off into the woods. Officers were able to locate him a short time later at a church near that location. And was able to take him into custody.
Using, what, a drone and a dog and a canine, is that right?
Yes, we had the drone. We had a canine over there. We had the assistance from the sheriff's office. and he was located and charged.
We're talking about this case where the basically the woman found out that her truck was getting burgled, and she comes out. The guys leave as she starts yelling at him, but he leaves right in front of two of Larry Down Jr.'s kids who are working on a project. And a plumbing project, and she asks them for help, and then they help, and they kind of get into a little bit of a mini scuffle. What I think is amazing is, you know, like Larry's a big MMA guy, and I'm assuming that his kids he's taught them some of that stuff. So probably picked a poor fight choice here, but it can be a dangerous situation if you get into a fight with somebody you don't know, or you pursue them. Like, they didn't want to pursue him into the woods because they don't know if he's armed, right?
Yeah, and that was a very smart decision on their part. This is a decision you have to make when someone asks you for assistance. You have to look at the totality of the circumstances, just like we do, and everybody does. And they decided at that point that it was safe to follow him. But once he went into the woods, then that can present other problems. You don't know if he'd just taken something out of another vehicle, maybe even a weapon of some sort. So that's a decision that you have to make. And it looks like they made the right one. And, you know, it's a good thing that are people that are still around that will help their fellow man in times of distress.
Amen.
But you do have to take everything into consideration before you do that.
In fact, you know, some people might have the question, do you have to help? Are you obligated to help? Maybe they saw the last episode of Seinfeld and they think, oh, man, you can get arrested for being the indifferent standby. Are you obligated to help? It's like in that case, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, they're good kids. They're going to do what's right and they're going to help a woman out. But are you obligated to do it? What kind of legal status do you have when somebody asks you like that?
Well, can we slip into this week's myth?
Sure.
Right now, can we?
Because I still have a follow-up question about the crime, but sure. Yeah, go ahead.
So the myth is that you must help. So here's where the confusion is. You do not have to help in a situation like what happened up at the apartment complex. You do have to help if you come up on, say, a traffic crash where someone is injured and you can't just pass by that. You must render aid. But you do not, if somebody asks you for help, if somebody just broke into their car, you do not have to jump in and do that because, again, you never know that person may have just, you know, it would have been different to these two plumbers yesterday if that lady would have said, this man just stole a gun out of my truck. That changes everything. So you do not have to help in situations like that. However, you do, by law, have to help if a police officer asks you to intervene to assist him or her in the effecting an arrest.
Really? Interesting. So, I mean, I would, of course, but if a cop says, hey, help me, you can't say no?
That's correct. You can be charged with that.
Interesting. Okay, yeah,
and
I bet.
You can also be charged if you see someone injured, if you see someone injured and you fail to render aid, you can also be charged with that. But helping somebody who just broke into your home or to your vehicle or, helping you, please help me change a tire, those type of situations, you do not have to. There's no law that says that you must help in those situations.
Wow. I don't think I knew that. I mean, it's not anything contrary to what I would have done, but it's good to tell people that because, I mean, I'm sure if I didn't know, a lot of people didn't know it. I do have a question, though. The reporting indicated that maybe this person, this detainee suspect, whatever, was here illegally. Do you know anything about that, or have we confirmed anything like that?
I don't know. We were made aware of that, but that was not something that we could confirm at the time.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. I have a question on a completely different topic, only because, you know, we had the No Kings protests, of course. I know you are well aware of what happened in Fairhope. And since it's, you know, police enforcement or, you know, what I would say would be overstepping enforcement, I'm sure you guys have had conversations about what to do the next time we have a protest here in Pensacola. Any part of this that would yield guidance that you want to give to the public ahead of time in case somebody says, oh, well, I saw what we did over there. You know, let's try something like that in Pensacola. Anything you want to tell us?
No. That's a situation that it's going to have to be dealt with on a case-by-case basis. I can understand both sides of that situation.
Yeah.
But we have to enforce the law the way it's written. And each situation that pops up, we will have to look at that and decide if there's being, if rights are being taken away or if laws are being broken. We have to decide that on a case-by-case basis. So for me to speculate if something like that happens in Pensacola would probably be inappropriate at this point.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Worth asking about. Mike Wood is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. As always, Mike, thank you for the time, clarifying things, teaching us the law, teaching us how to, you know, I mean, like we learned two things about the law today that maybe people didn't know. So I appreciate that. We'll talk to you again next week, sir. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.